Trying to do a radio show here, and everybody keeps sending me clever texts about dandelions. Don sent this text in. Actually, this is a whole email, so you know it's important. It says, hey, John, at the risk of inciting the naturalist save the bees mob, one word, speed zone herbicide. It's freaking magic. Comes in two variants. You want the red checkered flag label for northern climates. The southern has a green checkered flag. 1 to 1.5 ounces to a gallon of water in a sprayer. Spot spray them. Wait 24 hours. Don't use if rain is expected within 12 hours. You will thank me later, says Dan Polk. That's how you get those dandelions. I don't want to spray them in fields. I saw them on the side of the highways yesterday and thought, that's a good place for them. The bees can go right there. And then go in. The people that want the bees, I just want this little patch of green earth that I live around to not have dandelions. I don't think that makes me a communist. Let's talk to Lou Manfredini. He's our Mr. Fix-It. Hi, Lou.
I like the transition from communism to Lou Manfredini.
Hi, Lou.
Hi, John.
Don't you? I did not know. I know I have a lot of sins, and I'm on the wrong side on a lot of things, but I thought be an anti-dandelion was going to be a pretty safe thing as a homeowner, and I'm for the bees, I guess I'm on the wrong side on this.
You need to buy, your tool of choice for that, for the non-herbicide, poisoning, is Grandpa's Weed Puller.
Oh, the thing that you stick down to the ground and pull them up with?
Right, but it's got a long handle so that you can do it from the standing position.
Oh,
you're not down on your hands.
Okay.
You're not down on your hands and knees, like crawling around like you lost a contact.
Well, that's the problem. Because I have one of those short handle ones. There's a tall one that you do standing up.
There's a tall one. It's called Grandpa's Weed Puller.
This is a game changer.
It is a game changer. Same kind of fork that you have on there, but it has a little, almost like a kickstand. And you pop it in, you grab the root, and then you just pop it, and they come up, and it's a good little workout. You don't use any chemicals, and it rids your lawn of the dandelions.
We've been putting this landscape guy on. He's a nice guy and sure knows his stuff, and everybody.
Oh yeah, he's terrific. He's terrific.
But I'll be honest with you, Lou. I don't like using the Scotts program or chemical. I would like to be as green and earth friendly as I can. I'm sorry about the dandelions in my yard, but I'm going to sin some more. But I mean, if we could find a more natural way to do these things, I'll embrace that.
Yeah, it's, with my Ace Hardware cap on that my wife and I own a couple stores, I hear from people all the time that come in and say they want a, nice green lawn, but they don't want to put any chemicals. That train is starting to leave, and it's not a indictment of the Scotts company or other companies that make those products, but the organic products do work. You have to use more of them. And, ultimately, you've got a little granddaughter that's, going to run around in that grass, and you're not going to put chemicals down on there. And that's what everybody's concerned with. And quite frankly, rightly so.
Well, I had imagined that the fertilizers, just as a for instance, maybe weed killers too, those use petroleum products. I'll bet that stuff's pretty expensive these days.
Well, there's been a whole, conversation about fertilizer and obviously this war in Ukraine, and who knew that, Russia and Ukraine were such big suppliers of fertilizer. It isn't going to really affect us too much this year, but if this thing goes on, it will affect us greatly. And even the organic stuff, depending on what part of the world it comes from, is a little bit more pricey to lead with just because of it, but it does work. There's a lot of really good manufacturers, Espoma, Bonide. These are companies that have been in that business for a very long time.
This is a tangent. We'll get to the reason I called in just a minute, but it is amazing how interconnected the world is. So a war in Ukraine means that fertilizer for farmers and homeowners may be more expensive next year, maybe it's already. I was at Waxberg's Walk Shop, and we were walking around looking at shoes, talking about shoes because, they sell shoes. And I said something like, he took me back to the supply room. He said, you see, this shelf here would normally be full of shoes, but it's not now. And I said, why? He said, supply chain. Bob Surratt had trouble this weekend finding tennis balls. And he finally went to a tennis shop, and they said, supply chain. And I'm now going to use the word supply chain is my get out of jail for any time, anything. Like Brenda said, why didn't you take out the garbage? Supply chain.
Supply chain.
Supply chain. How come you didn't wash the windows? Yeah, supply chain.
Let me know how that works, because if it works, I'm going to use it too.
Why are you wearing those shoes? Those don't go with that outfit. Supply chain.
Supply chain.
Supply chain.
That's good.
Just
That's
anything.
Good.
Anything that, anything.
Yeah.
Supply chain. That's a, just right. Cool. Hey, Lou, so isn't it crazy? Last week, furnace running. Then for about 20 minutes, we weren't spending any energy. And now, last night, we did not have the AC on, but we're getting ready. We're getting ready.
Ugh, makes me so angry. I just, everyone's just got to be so fed up with it. I was joking on Saturday on my show that I told everybody to run outside and look up because it was the sun.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hadn't seen it in so long, and now we're immediately into air conditioning. My neighbors, I've got neighbors that already had it on last night, and I'm doing everything I can not to turn it on. But I know for a lot of people that suffer from allergies and asthma, the allergy stuff that's in the air is really tough right now. And so I get it, why people are turning that stuff on.
Well, so I was looking at my unit, and by that I mean my air conditioning system, and I thought, okay, now I can't believe that there are some things I actually don't know. Like if I hit 63, is that a colder temperature or is that just a longer run? And does the air conditioner automatically dehumidify, or is there a button that I should hit or get? And one last thing, and that is, should I let that thing run, kind of rev the engine, let it warm up like you do a car that you haven't run for a while? Answer all of these questions, Lou, after this. Lou Manfredini is your Mr. Fix-It. Lou, you're still there, right?
I am.
Anything else you want to say since we last visited?
No, I agree wholeheartedly with everything you just said about all those sponsors. They're fabulous.
So, Lou, it's air conditioning season. As of maybe right now, I guess
you. So you asked me a bunch of questions before the break. Is one is, does the air conditioner automatically dehumidify when you turn it on? And you know, the vast majority of central air conditioning units, yes, they dehumidify and cool at the same time, and so that's what it's designed to do. If you set your temperature at a lower one, will the house, you know, get colder faster? And the reality of it is, no, that's not how a forced air system works. It'll run longer, but it won't make the house cooler quicker. So if you're trying to get to, you know, 72 degrees or 74 degrees, whatever it may be, cranking it down to 62
right,
won't get you there quicker, because the way that a system works is it draws air in, dehumidifies and cools it, and then it pumps it back out. So it's that constant circulation, and as it's passing through, you know, much like a merry-go-round, keeps going around and around and around and around. Eventually it gets to that temperature.
Okay.
And then it maintains it.
But here's my question. Do some air conditioners, though, make the air colder than others? Do some of them, like, pull even more humidity out and cool it even more? Because I had my hand in front of my system, and the air coming out wasn't as cold as I wanted it to be. I wanted the air to be colder coming out of my system.
Well,
like,
that's
all
could
I got.
That could be not a function, John, of the AC unit, but it could be a function of your ductwork. And so the thing is that, you know, the vast majority of people that have forced air systems and ductwork, and if you live in an older home, it's a leaky mess. So every one of those joints that it's connected to is not only leaking air into a cavity where you're not hanging out, you know, in a floor or a wall space, but it's also creating a venturi where it draws in warm air, which is why you can go to one vent and go, wow, it's really cold right here, right next to the unit. And then I go in the dining room, and it's not so cold. And that's more of a function of leaky ductwork that is causing that.
Yeah.
Now, do some, you know, if they're larger units with more tonnage, air conditionings are rated on tonnage of cooling. Yeah, that bad boy is going to be like a NASCAR, you know, kicking out air. But sizing the unit correctly is important, because, you know, you wouldn't drive a NASCAR to the Jewel, right? It would never, you'd like go 1,000 miles an hour and then you're there. So you need to have the one that runs the right amount. Sizing it is really important. And, you know, good HVAC contractors will come and do what's called a load calculation.
Yeah.
And they'll take a look at how the house is built and how many windows you have and how many floors and yada, yada, yada to make sure you get the right one.
Well, that's an interesting thought, though, Lou. So suppose I got the NASCAR version and it was super cold air coming out, and then the temperature would go down to 70 degrees, but then after a while it'd have to crank up again. Maybe better I have something that's a little more evenly distributing the cool air.
Correct, because the key element when we're, for where we live, it's all about dehumidification. And if you've got the cranking of the cold, you'll be cold, but the house will feel clammy.
Yeah.
And so it's the dehumidification. And some air conditioning units, the more sophisticated ones, not only do cooling, but they have a separate dehumidification.
I was wondering about that. So could you run the fan and have it dehumidify without cool?
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Nice.
Correct.
What about
correct.
This, Lou? I did not put a cover over our, what's that thing outside?
AC unit, condensing unit.
The condensing unit that sits out there on the outside of the house.
That's okay.
That's okay because
We don't get snow anymore. Really, when it comes to covering the condensing unit, the only thing you really want to cover is the very top. You're protecting the fan and covering the sides. The biggest thing is that if you didn't cover it, before you crank this up, make sure that there's no debris. It's a little early. We haven't gotten all that pollen floating through the air. But if you took a hose to that condensing unit, this would be good advice for anybody, and just hose it down on the outside just to clean it up. And then make sure the filter, the furnace filter, is clean and replaced. I was just having a conversation with some colleagues of mine just a few seconds ago that my new recommendation is pleated filters for your AC and or furnace that you replace every month. So it does way better for the indoor air quality. COVID has taught us one thing, is that air quality matters. And so the spun fiberglass cheap ones that a lot of the HVAC people say you should use, stop telling people that. The pleated filters that cost $6-7, buy 12 of them, put it in your phone, replace it once a month.
Put it in my phone?
Well, if you have a calendar.
Oh.
And if you forget to replace the furnace filter, what will your excuse be?
Supply chain.
Right.
Hey, listen to this. 269 said, John, I was at an REI store in Nashville looking at tents to use on the Appalachian Trail. They didn't have a couple models in stock. An employee said they were held up in a port in California. He said some of their order made it out of the port and it was on the train. And then the train was robbed and their order was stolen off the train. What is this, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid out there in Oklahoma stealing tents off of trains? This is craziness. John,
crazy.
We had to put the AC on in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Any ideas or advice on when to run it, Lou? I guess when it gets warm, you turn it on, and when it gets cool, you turn it off, right?
Right. I mean, it's just it really has to do with everybody's personal comfort.
Okay, but
right?
How about this? What if I crank the fan? I thought, well, it's almost better to leave the fan on lower speed because then the air has more of an opportunity to get cool or dehumidified. If I go fast, it's maybe not going to be as cool a air coming out. What do you think of that, Lou?
Well, I don't know that if you have the ability to adjust the speed of the fan on your forced air system, that's not a bad idea. Look, my recommendation has always been when it comes to when it's really hot, if it's over 80 degrees and we have a lot of humidity, to put the fan on 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
The fan itself does not use a lot of electricity. It's the condensing unit outside. And the fact of the matter is, for most of us homes that have a basement, it's freezing cold in the basement. And you want to draw some of that air and help circulate it, and the fan will do that. Now, that is damper air, and so that's why if you don't do it when it's super hot outside, you lose some of the dehumidification when the fan is running. And so the house can feel a little humid yet cool.
Yeah.
You know, air conditioning is this blend between both of those things, the dehumidification and the cooling, and that has to be just right so that you're comfortable inside your home. Make sure the filters are clean. Make sure the vents aren't covered up. If you've got furniture covering all that kind of stuff up, you know, that will make a difference. You know, move a piece of furniture so it can blow in there. And quite frankly, ceiling fans, which also don't use a lot of electricity, run those bad boys on low. I don't care which way it spins.
There you go. I thought you cared about that, which way the fan spins. Should we be pushing the air up or pushing the air down?
It doesn't matter. Just circulate it. The only reason I say go up in the winter is because you don't want to feel the draft. But either way, it doesn't matter. We just want to get the warm air that's up at the ceiling to circulate down.
847 said help, and then there's four exclamation points. My AC motor is frozen. Any suggestions on how to fix? By the way, I don't think that a broken AC motor merits 4 exclamation points. 4 exclamation points is, I'm on a cliff. The rope is starting to thread. That's 4 exclamation points. This is a 2 exclamation point at most.
Well, at this point, if you know that it's frozen, you have to shut the system down, and then you probably have a refrigerant issue. Either you have a leak, or you don't have enough refrigerant, or there's a capacitor that's shot that's causing this. The HVAC contractor won't be able to do anything until the block of ice goes away. So shut the system down.
Really?
And
you get a block of ice there? It literally turns to ice?
Yeah, I'm assuming they're talking about the A coil, which is the part that, you know, the refrigerant pumps into, and that's what does the cooling.
Yeah.
And that can get like a block of ice, and the technician won't be able to do anything until it's thawed out.
All right, let's see if we can get through 2 or 3 more questions in the remaining 60 seconds. Please ask Lou if an inline duct fan could help in AC air distribution depending on the home's AC system.
I mean, the short answer is maybe. The issue there is that you're changing the flow, and so exactly what you mentioned earlier, John, about putting your hand by the vent and it's not really that cold, it's because you're moving it more. It probably has more to do with balancing the system out by closing the other vents to force more pressure down that ductwork.
What's a good temperature, Lou? 72, 68?
Whatever you're comfortable at.
Well, I think what that's about is like, is there an optimal temperature to set it at to get the optimal cooling in my house?
I mean, there's no set thing because it all depends on the home. I mean, you know, in our particular home, when we do run the air conditioner, it's like between 72 and 74. But other people, it might be 68. It all depends on the home and the construction.
It's going to be expensive, I hear, this year for electricity, like it was in the fall for the gas.
That's why it's really so important to make sure that the system's at running at peak efficiency and you're doing the most you can yourself, like the filter changes and not clogging, you know, not having furniture over the vents and being smart about other things you do to stay comfortable. That will make a difference.
6 to 9 on Saturdays, Mr. Fix-It, you're Lou Manfredini. You working this Saturday, Lou?
Yeah, we have a big outdoor Oasis show. So, you know, the best way to stay comfortable is get outside.
The Outdoor Oasis Show?
Uh-huh. We're talking all about ways to have that outdoor that you own already in your
nice.
Home and get the most out of it.
All right, I got to go. Well, listen, this Saturday. Great idea, Lou. Thanks.
Bye.